The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, June the 29th, 2026, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The Albert Dryden Experience. And the time is 10:04 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. So, why an I'm Talking to You show on a Monday? Well, basically, what I always do with Peter, I say always, I sometimes forget, as I did last week, is before we go on air, I check that he's free for the following Tuesday. And sometimes I don't, and I still close the show out saying that we'll be back with you next Tuesday. Of course, anything can happen in the interim, but he's not going to be around tomorrow. And I thought, well, I could do an I'm Talking to You show tomorrow, but I'd rather just do this week's one now, and then people know that there's no Peter tomorrow. And in fact, the next news show will be next Tuesday with Peter, and then the I'm Talking to You will be on Wednesday. Of course, everything permitting, if we're all still here, what have you, that is the plan. And in the interim, from tomorrow until Monday, you'll have the Bible readings, apart from on Sunday when you'll have the parables. So I'm going to have about a week off, as it were, from doing new content, and I just wanted to put this show out today. I'm going to try and get it nearer an hour as well, but I don't try and stretch things out. You know, if anything, I try and shrink things, but simply because I know people like the hour that I do with Peter. And so if I can do a longer I'm Talking to You show to sort of fill that up, I've got a few things to talk about, and I'll do my best to make it as interesting as possible for you. Okay, so today's show title, The Albert Dryden Experience, relates to an article I discovered on the BBC recently entitled Hidden House Farmer Slams Contempt Conviction. What happened here is a farmer built a house inside a barn in order to avoid it being detected, as they did not have the required planning permission to build it. But when their local council found out, they ordered them to demolish it, and after they failed to do so, the council took them to court, won the case, and now the farmer faces a maximum penalty of 2 years imprisonment and an unlimited fine, along with obviously losing the house they had built. This reminded me of the tragic case of Harry Collinson, a planning officer for Derwentside District Council. Whilst during a confrontation with Albert Dryden, who had built a partially concealed bungalow on his property without planning permission back in 1991, ended up being fatally shot by Dryden, who went on to shoot a television reporter and a police constable, both of which fortunately survived their injuries. What made the events even more tragic was that despite the fact the council wished to demolish Albert Dryden's bungalow under the cover of darkness, as Dryden lived at another property several miles away, Harry Collinson dismissed this tactic as underhanded and insisted in confronting Dryden directly during the day, a choice that, despite Harry's honourable nature, would end up sadly costing him his life. Going back to the recent case of a farmer building a house inside a barn, I have a simple question for you. What would you prefer? an existing barn next door to you with a house inside it that you couldn't see, or a giant data centre. I know what I'd prefer, and I also know that I've not read of any councils ordering the demolition of data centres. Okay, so here's one I found of interest in the news since last week's show. So let's go over to my brave, what do you call it, browser, don't you? Yep, browser, and I've got my little ITTY folder here. I'm talking to you, acronym, and I've got all the different stories that I've got here that I've picked up in the past week that I think may be of interest. There's some that I always, if I see a follow-up to something I talked about, I mention it. The first up is, you may remember that the England, he'd hate being called that, the former Republic of Ireland footballer, Manchester United footballer, best known for that, was captain, I believe, Roy Keane. He's now a pundit commentating on, or, you know, not necessarily commentating, but he's a pundit for the World Cup, for the football, for the soccer that's going on in the United States, Mexico and Canada at the moment. And he made a comment last week about these wives and girlfriends of England footballers who wear the England t-shirt with their husband or boyfriend's name on the back. He found it ridiculous. He said it's okay if their children do, but a lot of these women won't be, still be with them in a year's time, what have you. Unsurprisingly, we've had a response from some of these England wives and girlfriends to Roy Keane. We'll wear what we want, and they're carrying on their way. So it's not really a bit of a story. It's just, they call it right of reply, don't they, in the media? So I guess this is their right of reply. We've had a heat wave. It's kind of ended, supposedly. I mean, it's 82 degrees Fahrenheit in my flat at the moment, looking at my barometer. I managed to get the heat down a bit this morning, opening the balcony door and the windows and what have you. Previous days, unless I've been up really early, like 5 something, I've really only managed to drop it a couple of degrees. It's been really quite hot, sleeping with a fan on, things like that, just a sheet over me. But what's happened is, with all this energy efficiency, this sort of thing that we've had forced down our throats in recent years, the way that properties are constructed in the UK has changed. And as a result, a lot of new builds, they've been packing them with insulation. And all this insulation that they put in, it's all designed so that you won't have to use much energy to keep warm in the winter because you're so well insulated. But consequently, when you are in a heat wave, it's turned out that some of these places, people have said that they feel like the Sahara Desert in their flat. They felt, not just flats, houses, they've said that they touch the walls and the walls are hot to the touch. And this is a knock-on effect again. And you have to ask yourself, there's a lot of critics of this so-called green energy, and it's actually, what do we say, the greens are like watermelons. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. It's just a vehicle in which to get their communism to be accepted. And that's why it sprouted up as the communist regime started falling in the 1990s. That's when this thing sprouted up. And it makes me think, I'm going to demonstrate something to you here. See if you can hear this. It won't do it now. There you go. Hear that squeaking? That is my chair. Now that chair, my swivel chair, is only a couple of years old. I had to put it all together when I got it. I ordered it off Amazon. Yeah, I believe it's a Chinese design. Sihu, S-H-I-O-O, I think is the company. I had one before that, and that started creaking after time. Got rid of that one. And you go to Islet. Let me give you an example. I've got a steel bed frame and then a mattress on that. And when I watch my films, my DVDs, I sit in my bed, I put a pillow behind me on the back of the steel bed frame, and that's how I watch my films. But if you move slightly, the thing starts creaking uncontrollably. So what I did was I looked something up on the internet about creaking bed, what have you, and it made the point of just taking the bolts out, spraying them with WD-40, and that's what I did. There's 4 bolts on either end, 2 on either side, so 8 bolts I had to remove, sprayed them with WD-40, it hasn't creaked since, and that was a few months ago. I tried doing this with the chair, but where do you do it? And you end up spraying it all over, it stinks for a while, and you still get the creaks. I have a guy that comes and does work for me when you get a few problems over a period of time. And you're not going to build, you know, bring him out for one little thing, but you get a few things that you can live with and then bring him over. And he's, this guy, I'll give you an example. What he did originally for me is I had some old red doors on my kitchen units that had bits that were coming off them. The edges would come off and they'd be quite sharp and you could cut your fingers on them. When you tried to glue them back on, they'd just come off again. It was a nightmare. And I became aware of a company that would take your existing kitchen and they would just replace things like the doors, the fronts of the drawers, things like that. So if your kitchen was otherwise okay, it was a very cheap way of doing it. So I just had all these replaced with these white doors. He did a fantastic job. He had to, you know, had to take things out like the fridge because you had a panel that was red and that had to be replaced with a white panel. All these different things. Did a perfect job. He looked at this chair. And he does other things for me. And he couldn't work out himself where to oil it, where to put WD-40. So I started taking bolts out. And I took 4 out and tried that. And that didn't work. Took 3 out. I thought that worked. I thought, I've cracked it. It's those ones. And then a little bit later, it's creaking again. Now, at my mum's house, she's got a chair there that she's had for 40 years. It's a swivel chair. I'm thinking of bringing that back. Now, one of the arms has sort of worn quite a bit, but I was sitting in it only yesterday when I went over there, and it doesn't creak at all. In fact, I've never known it to creak. So what is it with new things that I remember growing up and the new things coming along, there was something exciting and it was better. You know, things like your cassette deck when you got, you remember the first Walkmans, the cheap ones that came out, and they just had a fast-forward button on. So if you wanted to rewind it, you had to turn your tape over and fast-forward it to rewind it on the side you wanted. All these things, I mean, these cheapy-type things. And then suddenly it went up, you had the rewind, then you had the auto-reverse, you had all these different things. You had the APSS, where you could get a tape, a pre-recorded tape that you bought in a shop, like, say, Dire Straits Brothers in Arms, for sake of an example. And if you wanted to go to the next track, you could press play and fast forward, and it would find where the gap is between the songs, and it would go and put it in the next track. Different things like that, useful things that would come out. But what useful things have been developed in our lifetime? It only seems to be things detrimental to us. So now, basic things like making sure a chair doesn't creak isn't on the menu, and there's no way of, you know, short of dismantling the whole thing and oiling everything up, it's crazy, this. So I just think to myself, I don't wish to be a Luddite, but if someone can point out what is actually better, I mean, you're talking about these computer things, you can do all these things on computers now and stuff like that. But even they, you get all these viruses, different things going on. And when you see things going on there, people talk about these operating systems in computers, these Windows systems, and each one that comes out in recent years, starting from like 10, or maybe even Windows, was it 8? Did they have an 8? The one after 7, I think 7 was regarded as the last good one. Have they been an improvement or have they been a negative? Because the reports I've seen tend to be negative. Maybe most people are happy and the people that shout out are just the ones that want to complain. But that's the way I see things. I do look sometimes for negatives in things, I fully admit it. But things that you used to take for granted, like a house would be built properly, it just seems to be serving somebody's political agenda. And in the UK, we've had this with the cladding crisis. How is it possible that buildings costing millions of pounds to build were not properly fire tested with the insulation they were using to prevent something like the Grenfell Tower fire? And now, consequently, loads of buildings around the country are having to be recladded with stuff that doesn't catch fire. You know, I thought we had health and safety. Why was that stuff not tested beforehand? Again, this is stuff. The Grenfell Tower, it wasn't built with that. That was put on it, to my understanding, to make it look more modern. And so for sake of making it look more modern, they ended up killing a load of people. Okay, so let's move on to the Restore Party. We've got Restore, we've got Reform, talked about that on the last show. And there's an interesting thing that's happened in Reform. You've got its leader, Rupert Lowe, and he was giving an interview recently because he was asked his views on King Charles inviting Muslim worshippers to Windsor Castle. And he said, this was his reply, he said, he's certainly very keen to propagate a multicultural society, which again, I have no problem with if people integrate. And this has left some people within the Restore party, or whatever they want to call themselves, support group, what have you, they haven't liked his words at all. And then they're of no surprise to me. What I'm surprised about is why people would fall for any sort of political party. I made the comment on the last show, is that any political party that does things that the ruling establishment don't like, they seem to get proscribed. So why would a party masquerading as being right-wing in order to give people who are of right-wing belief something to vote for, why would they be allowed to exist when other parties get proscribed? And I think here's the answer, that they have a certain Overton window with which they function in that they won't necessarily talk about unless pressed. And when they've pressed, it'll come out. What you generally find, that happens with political manifestos. A party can tell you whatever they want to tell you. Once they're elected, they're not held to account for their political manifesto. They don't have to do what they said. It's not like, you know, if you buy a car and they tell you it's going to do this, that and the other, and it doesn't, it's a breach of contract and you can go to court over it. You can't take a political party to court because they told you they were going to do something in their manifesto and they choose not to do it. Why is that? You know, these are the people that are spending a lot more of your money than you spent on a car when you take all your taxes and all that into consideration over a 4 or 5 year period. Why are they not held to account? So the whole political system, to me, I don't trust it at all. And I just thought I wanted to throw that one in. Now I want to have a look at how things are reported. And what I've discovered, well, we've got this new guy coming in, apparently. This is a democracy in full view, folks. Keir Starmer resigns after a guy who's not even been an MP for years, but was mayor of Manchester. Suddenly he's an MP. Next minute we're told he's going to be not just running the Labour Party, but he's going to be running the country within a month after becoming an MP, when he hasn't been an MP for many years. I mean, what does that tell you about the quality of MPs that we have in the House of Commons? That a guy that's not been an MP for years can just come in and become Prime Minister unchallenged. And again, we keep being told about democracy. How is that democracy? Nobody, not one person has voted this person to be Prime Minister. They voted him to be an MP. But a lot of people, when they vote for Labour or Conservative, they won't even know who their local MP is. They'll just look at the leader of the Labour or Conservative Party, and that's who their vote's for. So there's been some interesting stories about this guy. And the first one, what I want to do is I want to give you a left-wing perspective. It's one particular story I'm interested in. It's his new chief of staff. So what's regarded as the leading publication on the left is called The Guardian, theguardian.com. And this is a story. The headline is Andy Burnham picks Blair. Oh, I've got a pop-up here. Just go away. How ridiculous. Right. Andy Burnham picks former Blair minister James Purnell as chief of staff. Decision is one of Makerfield MP's most significant since his Westminster return as he builds his team for government. So this is, as I say, The Guardian, and it talks through this article about the background of this guy, James Purnell. He was a cabinet colleague of... I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm just going to pick bits up as I scan through it. So he was a former cabinet colleague of Andy Burnham when he was in a Labour government cabinet position. He was the Work and Pensions Secretary at the time. He challenged the leadership for the Labour Party, didn't get anywhere. He then joined BBC as Director of Strategy before becoming Chief Executive of lobbying firm Flint Global in 2024. So that's basically what it says here in this article about his positions that he's had since he was an MP alongside Andy Burnham. So let's see what the Daily Mail says about the history of this guy, because they're the right-wing view. They're probably regarded as the leading right-wing publication. Excuse me. So the headline of the Daily Mail article I'm looking at is called "Andy Burnham's New Chief of Staff Pick Was Branded One of My Boys by Friend Peter Mandelson as Blairite Appointment Raises Questions About Direction of Government." So, obviously, there's some, according to the Daily Mail, some relationship between him and Peter Mandelson. So I'll scroll down. It says that Burnham and Purnell's relationship, it's been going on for 25 years. They were both elected to the House of Commons at the same time in 2001 and served in the cabinet under Gordon Brown. And then it also says here in the Daily Mail article that after quitting government in 2009, Purnell joined the BBC as Director of Strategy before becoming Chief Executive Officer of Flint. So that's the same information as we got from the Guardian article. There's all this stuff now about Mandelson. I'm not even going to bother looking through this because I'm just keen on his employment history since he left government in 2009. So can I find anything else here in this article? No, they're talking about... he had some problem with the tax. There was some dispute over tax payments. It's got an interesting one here. Green Party leader Zach Polanski is saying that this is like a Tony Blair tribute act. And it's out with the old and in with the old. And that's it. It just concludes with a spokesman for Mr. Burnham said James has left Flint. He will have no ongoing financial interest in the company of any kind. And Flint Global said James has resigned from Flint. He has rescued himself from all client activity. No, he has recused himself. Rescued, sorry. My eyes. He has recused himself from all client activity and has no ongoing financial interest of the company of any kind. James's decision to join Burnham's team is entirely his own and one we fully respect. So, both the Mail and the Guardian say that since this guy left his cabinet post, he worked for the BBC and worked for Flint Global. And then we get another publication here, which I've never heard of. It's called thecanary.co. So I opened this up, and I found this purely by accident when I forget what I was Googling, but I was looking up something. Thecanary.co. Headline, Burnham appoints ex-Labour Friends of Israel chair as chief of staff. So... And it says in this article that Purnell was the chairperson of the parliamentary lobby group Labour Friends of Israel for 2 years. And it's a short article, but it only mentions this. It doesn't. It says Purnell backed right-winger David Miliband. No, Purnell backed, sorry, backed David Miliband in the 2010 Labour leadership election, then became a BBC director under the Tories. He now runs corporate political lobbying firm Flint Global, which of course he's since left to become this advisor to Andy Burnham. But my question is, you've got the leading far right not far right. The leading right wing, we're told, Matt says that it's on the right, conservative, whatever they want to call themselves, Daily Mail. They've got the leading on the left, have they, which to represent themselves, The Guardian. How come neither of them told us that Purnell was the chairperson of Labour Friends of Israel for 2 years? Both their articles are longer than this short article by the canary.co. And I just question why that information is not in either of these leading publications for either side of the political spectrum. Okay, so we've now got, bear in mind all these people that are being arrested and going to jail for things that they say online that generally people haven't complained about. It's the government is the complainant. Well, your words could have made somebody do this. It could have made somebody do that. Well, you know, I got into my car the other day and me being in my car could have caused all sorts of different issues to happen. You know, maybe if I hadn't have been in my car, one car in front of someone else, and I got through the lights, the last car to get through the lights, and they didn't, and they ended up getting to a destination later and they had an accident. Well, if I hadn't been on the road that day, then they'd have got through the lights the previous time, wouldn't they? And they might not have had that accident. That could have happened. You know, it's not my fault, but it could. They might not have had an accident if I decided not to take my car out that day. Do you see where I'm going with this? But you get all these people being prosecuted for things that they say with no complainant because of what could have happened. Well, here's something that did happen. There was a fraudster who, there's a scam going on. This is why I'm so reluctant to use things with my phones and stuff like that. People using banking apps on phones and stuff. I think I would not do that at all with all the stories I hear. There was a scam involving texts where people would pretend to be people's children. The criminal would pretend to be the child of the person they're scamming. And saying that they'd lost their phone or they'd lost money and they needed money urgently. And then the parents, they'd be frightened out their wits' end and they'd send money. And of course, the child knew nothing about it. They'd somehow managed to get hold of the child's phone number and pretend to be them, something like that. And somebody got found guilty of this. They made £34,000 out of it, went to court, and they got spared jail. Yet somebody who says something can get jailed. Somebody who protests the slaughtering of a load of toddlers can get jailed. But somebody that actually does real crime with real victims doesn't get anything in this country. That's where we are. And that's why I look at the Book of Revelation. That's why I study the Bible so much. Because whilst I'm not going to have any new content until next Tuesday, and if for any reason Peter can't join us, I will then do the Next I'm Talking to You show a week from tomorrow. But hopefully it'll be a week from Wednesday and we'll have Peter back a week from tomorrow. You look at what it says in the Book of Revelation in the end times. And you compare that to now. And that's really where I'm going. So that's what I see and that's what I follow. So anyway, the next thing, we've got a digital trolley. And this is for when you go around the supermarket. And it's being rolled out in the UK. But, you know, these people never do things really for your benefit, do they? And there's been studies that have found that you can spend up to a third more than you normally would with the digital trolley. Because, surprise, surprise, it's got a little screen on. And it promotes things that it's paid to advertise. That's great, isn't it? So now you've got adverts on your trolley. You can't get away from them at all. Now, whose smart idea was this? Show me the inventions that come out that are actually for our benefit. We keep hearing, I mean, mobile phones, for example, they just snoop on you. Every iteration, the way that they do things is same with these operating systems. I've heard stories of them snooping on you. Smart TVs, things like that. They sell them to you for, it's like the peace and safety thing, isn't it? Those who, you know, trade their liberty for peace and safety deserve neither. and they sell you these things, and there's always a cost to you that's hidden. And again, that's what this digital trolley is going to be. It's going to be so, oh, this is so good. It's going to, you'll be able to, I mean, I get so frustrated in supermarkets sometimes trying to find things. And I'll tell you the most difficult thing to find in a shop these days. It's a member of staff. Okay, that's the most difficult thing to find in a shop. You look around, they're nowhere. I mean, it's amazing to me. And the other thing in shops, when you do see some on the occasion, they'll be stacking shelves, things like that. You know, things that used to be done overnight so as not to inconvenience the customer when they're walking around. How many times have you been in a shop and you've wanted to get something from a shelf and there's some huge trolley covering the whole shelf that someone's probably just left there while they've gone off for a break or something and you can't get to it? You know, where's the courtesy gone? This was done overnight by shop workers so not to inconvenience customers during the day. Now they just do what they want when they want. You know, you have to have a huge long line of people waiting for somebody to come up and open a second till. I remember Tesco's years ago. They, I think the 1990s, they had where you put your, that little, whatever it is, marker to block off your shopping from the person in front or the person behind. Next customer, please, used to say, that stuff like that. They had one in Tesco's. It said one in front service. And it was something that they rolled out saying that you would, their aim was you would have no more than one person in front of you when you were being served. That was on these signs. So that was what they were aiming for. Where did that go? I mean, I was waiting eight people in a line earlier in the week in a shop when I bought the those water sprayers, the water mist sprayer that I've talked about. I was just waiting there ages. And then there was just one till open. And finally, when more people join, suddenly someone reluctantly goes behind the till and opens up another till. Is this being done by design? Are we seeing our countries deliberately go into some sort of regression so they want to make everything that you do as unpleasant as possible, whether it's shopping, whether it's driving, trying to avoid potholes that they don't repair, all these sorts of things? And get this, I know of someone who years ago his car tyre hit a pothole and the council would have to pay, but they're not going to suddenly give you money for a new tyre. They want to know everything about the, excuse me, they want to know everything about the tyre. Yeah, how old was it? What did you pay for it? And they'll work out all the different things that they can knock off to try and give you as little money as possible rather than just repair the damn hole. So there you go. We're going to go over to beforeitsnews.com early this week because this is a headline from there that really annoys me because I can tell you that this is complete nonsense. Byington bombshell report. UK Prime Minister resigns over 250,000 British girls' claims of rape, torture, trafficking connected to Epstein. Absolute nonsense. But some idiot has decided to take this and make clickbait out of it. Okay? You can look at Starmer's history involving these cases and you'll know that this is not a reason for him that he would be resigning. And furthermore, the only channels I've heard about this 250,000 British girls' claims of rape, etc., I haven't heard one mainstream news article in the UK talking about it. Which doesn't mean that it isn't true, because historically they've been covering these sort of things up, official channels. But for someone so unashamedly to take something like this and concoct a story out of it just for clicks just goes to show how careful you have to be in the so-called independent alternative media. So I'll throw that one in there. And I've got a comment to make on this headline here. So this is a Daily Mail story. And here's the headline. Why you should let your wife do the talking. Women negotiate as effectively as men, but leave people happier, study reveals. Now, I'm not really too bothered about this, but what jumped out of it for me is, say it said the opposite. Say it said why you should let your husband do the talking. Men negotiate as effectively as women, but leave people happier, study reveals. Do you think there could be any, that's hate, that's discrimination. But it always seems to be one-sided. It's like, it's certain people are allowed to be absolutely lambasted in any way possible. And it makes one wonder if this is all by design as well. Certain groups aren't allowed any defence. Some groups can claim to be this, that and the other's done to them, and they're a protected class, but other people can have proof of the same things being done to them, but the law offers them no protection whatsoever. Not that I would take protection up in this case. I firmly believe in free speech, and that means full free speech. There shouldn't be any limits, anything like that, because if you have limits, then you don't have free speech. So, well, what about shouting fire in the crowded theatre? Well, if someone deliberately went out to claim that there was a fire in a crowded theatre in order to create a stampede in which people were subsequently injured or killed, then you deal with that under other laws, because they did that deliberately to. So it's a similar thing to if they, you know, decided to stab someone or punch someone to harm them. They just use their particular chant to do it in that event, to cause that stampede, to cause injury and possibly death. That is what they always use to try and stop free speech. But if a government is so good, if a country really does what the people want, then the people wouldn't be criticising them, would they? And they wouldn't have to think about laws criticising their free speech, because people would be so happy that the government's doing what they want. So why is it that governments in recent years have been so hell-bent on restricting what people say? Well, again, this is quite a dystopian broadcast, this. But tell me, what has got better in the last few years? And it's almost as if this is by design, and we need to restrict what people say so that they can't complain about things that have deteriorated in so many different areas, because then they'll join all the dots together and say, hang on, it seems to me that our country is being run by a group that wants to make our way of life as unpleasant as possible. And here's all the different ways that they do it. They can't have that. And finally, have you heard that saying, we all bleed red? Well, this Daily Mail headline reminded me of that. Muslims are left drenched in blood as they cut themselves with knives to mark Islamic festival. Okay, so that is the news I found in the last week to talk about. Let's have a look at my script here. See where my next bit is. Oh, something for you to listen to. Well, something for me to drink quickly from my water bottle. Yeah. It's not going to matter. Suddenly my voice will just go without warning like it has a couple of times, and I'll do a big coughing fit in your ear. I do apologise. I'll try and lean away from the microphone when I do that. But anyway, the something for you to listen to section of the show today, in which I tell you about a song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Tropical Hot Dog Night by Captain Beefheart, that was originally released on his 1978 album entitled Shiny Beast Back Chain Puller. And I'm not going to read you the lyrics as they make no sense, but get this, I don't dance. Yet when I hear Captain Beefheart's Tropical Hot Dog Night, I can never listen to it sitting down. This is one of the only songs I know that really makes me move. And now for this week's film review, which is 1955's Rebel Without a Cause, starring James Dean, in the only film in which he received top billing. I always bring you the latest films here, don't I? Well, I'm going to contradict myself there in a minute, or whatever. Firstly, I don't think I've ever seen, going back to Rebel Without a Cause starring James Dean, another actor try to copy another actor so clearly, something that was echoed by a New York Times reviewer, Bosley Crowther when he wrote, "Never have we seen a performer so clearly follow another style," which was in reference to the various mannerisms he believed James Dean copied from Marlon Brando. Now for me, as a film, it was a hard slog to get through. Although it was apparently heavily censored at the time, in particular the scene containing the knife fight. Wow. I would have loved to have seen these overly squeamish censors' reaction to the knife fight scene in David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises, released over 50 years later. Anyway, going back to Rebel Without a Cause, the main concern I had whilst watching this film is it trying to depict juvenile delinquency or is it trying to promote juvenile delinquency? For me, it was clearly the latter. And one wonders if the trend of the rebellious teenager that started in the United States during the 1950s would have been possible without films such as this. I'm going to mention another film because people have been talking about this. I'd only heard about it less than a week ago. Citizen Vigilante. I think it's only just come out. I think Elon Musk has put it up for free on X to watch. But Mark Collett, I believe, had the director of the film on his film review that he does on Sundays now and then. And he's got a variety of channels you can just go to the usual platforms you would go to. And you should be able to find that there if you're interested. And otherwise, I will be hearing about that, no doubt, myself tomorrow morning because Mark Collett does Mark Collett Mondays with Dr. Patrick Slattery at republicbroadcasting.org or republicbroadcastingarchives.org, which is where I'll be going to download today's National Bugle radio show tomorrow morning from republicbroadcastingarchives.org. Mark generally gives a summation or a summary of what he's been up to in the previous week on that show. So if you just want the abridged version, then you can wait for it for that show, as I will be doing. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So let's go over to... let's do Associated Press, see if we can get the main headline out before the pop-up comes up. Iran's president says $6 billion in frozen assets in Qatar to be released as US talks challenged. That's the top story. It's difficult to believe what's coming out of Iran or America at the moment, isn't it? But one thing that isn't coming out is the oil, from what I can understand, this Strait of Hormuz. I made the comment before that the ships that did sail through it, I don't think any of them were coming in our direction. And now I believe that's been cut off again, as has APnews.com. I've got a pop-up occupying half the screen at the bottom asking me to support AP. And then in the centre of the screen, occupying the other half, is a pop-up asking me about cookies. I reckon, again... remember this thing in the UK, oh, we're challenging how people can have cookies on their computer. And in the past, before they got this ruling, they could just do it. Was this a bit like Brexit, do you think? Where, oh, well, so you've made us that we have to ask you for cookies now. Okay, you're going to regret asking us for cookies. We're going to make your life so miserable every time you go on the website. You're just going to accept it anyway. And if you hadn't have challenged us in the first place, you wouldn't have had to go through the rigmarole of doing so. A bit like Brexit. We're going to get this, that and the other out of Europe, and then suddenly we're told, oh, we've got to pay this money as a divorce settlement. And, you know, now people are going on holiday and people are claiming that they're deliberately being dealt with slowly because the UK chose to leave the EU. That's their revenge again. Let's go over to BBC News. Let's look at the top 10 most read articles at the moment. So we'll scroll down to that while it loads up. Number 10, how population decline is exposing Germany's old divides. Well, this is interesting. I looked at this earlier, and there is a population decline in most of Germany. So, isn't that interesting? What is it that these people, we've got overpopulation, we need to deal with this, that and the other, and people shouldn't have children. And you know, if you've got overpopulation, then why do you keep bringing people in from other countries if you can't deal with the people that you've got? Doesn't make sense again, does it? Or does it? Number 9. South Korea football coach quits as president calls for probe into World Cup loss. Number 8. Mum of newborn rescued from Venezuela rubble tells BBC baby motivated her to survive. Number 7. Burnham's 10-year mission and princess in peaks condition. Number 6. I see tourists pee in front of my house. The camper van problem on the Isle of Skye. I've been to the Isle of Skye. It's quite nice. On one of my little boat trips. Number 5, US says it has agreed to stand down after exchange of strikes with Iran. We'll see how long that lasts. Number 4, Chris Mason, Burnham starts to sketch out his vision as potential Prime Minister. Number 3, murder charge after man dies at summer solstice event. I followed this story, but apparently he was killed in a particularly gruesome manner, but the police aren't telling us how it was. They're keeping that to themselves. I'm aware that if you watch these TV police procedurals, things like that, as I do, that they'll always hold a little bit of information back as to what happened in a crime so that they can weed out all the lunatics out there who phone up to claim that they did it. But in this case, it's just been heard that a guy was killed and it was in a gruesome manner, but I don't know if he was shot, stabbed, what have you. You know, I'm curious. I'm not a voyeur. It's just they've not said anything about the manner of the death. Let's click on it. Let's just see if there's anything in here. BBC articles tend to be a lot shorter than Daily Mail articles, which is welcome in a lot of cases. Yeah, nothing here. This is only... he's been pronounced dead at the scene. The police said a Polish national has been charged with the murder. And again, there's no details as to how the guy was killed. Okay, so let's go back to our top 10 here. That was number 3. Oh, thank you. It's just taking me back to a different part of the page. So number 2 is Navy to build drone-equipped warships instead of replacing aging destroyers. And number 1, white working-class children failed by education system, says inquiry. Okay. Now let's have a look at the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there at the moment. Top story. Super well done you, moment Kate stops to chat to 11-year-old boy in wheelchair during her Three Peaks challenge as he's carried up Ben Nevis by his father for charity. So this is something that the future Queen of England was involved in at the weekend, I believe. Next headline down, what are you afraid of, Andy? Burnham won't take questions after big speech today declaring war on the South and teeing up huge new tax raids. So that's what's going on. Again, this is democracy, folks. This is apparently our new Prime Minister that we're getting that's not going to be voted in at all. No one's going to challenge him. And then you keep being told about your democratic right to free speech in this country, as long, of course, as it doesn't include speech that can get you locked up for 14 years. That's your democratic right to free speech, UK style. Okay, let's go over to now. I believe we'll have a look at what is going on in the alternative media and see how alternative it really is. So let's go over to rents.com. See what's happening over there. So just waiting for the headlines to... Here's the top headline. Iran strike Bahrain, Kuwait after more US attacks threatens to cancel talks on ending the war. Strikes on Iran violate war powers resolution, says US lawmaker. Trump ignores it all. Trump says US struck Iranian sites, warns Iran may no longer exist. I mean, this is a real guy that you really want to be negotiating with rhetoric such as that that repeatedly comes out of his mouth. I mean, you must really feel a warm and fuzzy feeling when you sit down with someone like this to negotiate, mustn't you? There's a real sense of compromise about the guy, isn't there? Wow, amazing. Let's go over to Hal Turner Radio Show. .com. The top headline here, I noticed earlier today, it just says claim. US Navy 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain completely destroyed. So that's a claim by someone or other. I believe it's been denied by the United States. But again, what do these people expect? You lie to us so often, we don't know what to believe anymore. And you created this situation by lying to people. If you'd just been honest, then at some point you're going to need... It's like the boy who cried wolf all the time. People no longer listen to these people. So if at some point they really are telling the truth and they really need us, what sort of catastrophe are they going to bring about based upon the fact people no longer listen to them because of all the lies they've been telling them? This is the state of the world we're in. Again, this is why I go back to the Bible. When you go back to the Bible, you tell the truth. Because if you don't, then you feel afterwards... You might think you got something over on someone, but you start to feel guilty afterwards. And that guilty feeling lasts a lot more than that brief sense of getting something over on someone by deceiving them. And it's with regret. And that's what happens when you are a Christian, in my experience. So if we had that sort of morality back, then we wouldn't have all these lies because people wouldn't want to experience the regret afterwards. So, anyway, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com. And that is now opening up. I tried that earlier. I've had Mark's been having all sorts of problems, unfortunately, on that website. I believe it's been under attack. Surprise, surprise. But he has put a new video up, I believe. He's got some new articles up from... Today, there's a video I can see. I've scrolled past that. I'm just looking at... there's an article by Ralph Nader. Anyone remember when Daryl Bradford Smith interviewed Ralph Nader? I think I've got that somewhere. Daryl, he said to me, I remember, he said that he was just very confident on the phone. So I had like Tony Benn, famous Labour left-wing Member of Parliament. Didn't agree with what he said, but he was born a lord. He was a hereditary peer, in my understanding. And he renounced his title. He was a real left-winger, and he renounced his title. So there's someone who actually, whether you agree with him or not, made personal sacrifices. You know, sacrificed his pomp and whatever they call it because of his beliefs. So anyway, here's... A story by Ralph Nader. Fatalities from Israel's vast Gaza genocide deliberately undercounted. This is according to Ralph Nader. He says the Lancet, international relief organisations, universities and United Nations agencies all estimate hundreds of thousands of dead Palestinians from violent bombs, artillery, snipers and the resultant related secondary effects. The recent report by Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territories, referred to a consensus of 680,000 deaths. The respected chair of global public health at the University of Edinburgh, Professor Devi Sridhar, long ago was offering estimates far higher than those of Hamas. And that's by Ralph Nader. And of course, these are people that other people will say are biased in their opinions and are not basing them on fact. But what facts are out there anymore with all the lies? It's like I remember one thing that Alex Jones said that sticks with me. And he said it's a turd in the punch bowl routine. He said you can make up a lovely punch that people would drink from at a party, but if there's someone puts a turd in it or something, however big and that's going to stop anyone, however big and nice the punch bowl is, not the other thing, but when people see that, they're not going to go near that punch bowl. Like the chocolate in the swimming pool in the Caddyshack film, everyone thinks that that's something else and they all dive out. That's the state of countries in the world today, a combination of the mainstream media, the political system. You can't trust anything they say. And you just look at things and it takes me back to the Bilderberg group, that item from the agenda, which was the last item in the agenda, I think from 2018, though I might be wrong. You can look up the meetings for yourselves at bilderbergmeetings.org. And that is their official website, so you just need to go through the previous year's agendas, and it's one of them, which I believe is that one. It was the last item called the post-truth world. Well, that describes very much what we're living in today, because we can't even look at a video online or hear and know if it's genuine or if it's been created by AI. Remember that famous Morgan Freeman video when he's talking to you and then he says, actually, this isn't me, this is AI. Okay, so let's go over to beforeitsnews.com. And before we do, let's go to the clock. And we're up to about 55 minutes. So we are close to the hour, which is how I wanted the show to go today. And I hope it has been of interest to you. Okay, so beforeitsnews.com, top 10, number 10. 43 people viewing went up 17 hours ago. David Nino Rodriguez, EBS is coming, 6/28/26. Trump, the game is on. Number 9, went up 17 hours ago, 45 people viewing. D-Class from Pub Q-Fest, 6/28/26. Trump just dropped a bomb. Big arrests, indictments, it's go time. Yes, I bet it is. Number 8, went up 17 hours ago, 50 people viewing. Wan O'Savin, Big Intel, 6/28/26. An emergency reset coming. Number 7, went up 11 hours ago, 50 people viewing. Nibiru, Pole Shift and Lyme Bioweapons, Dr. Richard Allen Miller and Karen Luchik McDonald. Now, this is the sort of thing I'd usually download. I saw it earlier, but I heard this guy on another show recently, which was supposed to be all about end times, Nibiru, all this sort of stuff. And I think I listened to about an hour of it, and it was nothing about that whatsoever. So again, if you're not told the truth, this might have a load of stuff in there that I want to listen to, but I'm not going to take the chance again. I don't want to waste another hour when I've already been deceived once. So that's what happens when you're deceived. Number 6, went up 20 hours ago, 51 people viewing. Iodine benefits exposed, 7 surprising reasons you need it. Number 5, went up 2 days ago, 83 people viewing. Tucker Carlson, this world is not run by humans. Trump has supernatural powers. Well, I doubt Tucker Carlson said that, but anyway. Number 4, went up 6 hours ago, 91 people viewing. David XRP Lion, classified QFS, top secret must watch Trump news. Number 3, went up 7 hours ago, 134 people viewing. WTPN situation update, 6/28/26, Pete Santilli highlights. Number 2, went up 14 hours ago, 141 people viewing. Live X22 report, the communist insurgency battle has begun. Game on, Trump confirms target locked in. And number 1, went up 10 hours ago, 172 people viewing. Just says, all hell just broke loose. And there is an image above with Trump's face in it. The deal is off. And some plane bombing Iran. So that seems to be what is going on according to that story that went up 10 hours ago. Okay, so let's play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me today for I'm Talking to You, episode 267, The Albert Dryden Experience. I plan to return with you with Peter the week tomorrow, next Tuesday. And until then, enjoy the Bible readings. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week and bye for now.